If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the creative source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, It Is the Way It Is, Because It's Perfect the Way It Is. So trust what is. So, if you're ready to try this on, take a deep breath. And visualize a column of light coming right down to the top of your head, pouring from your I Am presence, and filling your whole body with pure white, radiant, neon light. And see it spark into activation, all of the cells of your body. See them come alive like a sea of diamonds. See your whole body activating like a diamond body. Let's take another deep breath and flood your consciousness and your field with this energy. Deep breath. And set them ablaze, scintillating with vibrant health, vitality, energy. And that creative intelligence that we're here to be conduits of, made in the image and likeness of creative source, our very nature is to express creativity. But creativity spiritually is different than the imitation that normally we call creative expression in the physical world. Although that's a good place to start. You start where you feel the interest, where you feel the talent pushing and wanting to express. But bear in mind that you're creative at a higher level all the time that you're not aware of. Soul itself is an individualization of that creative impetus that came at the same time of our extension as a individualized consciousness from Source, which makes our particular brand of creativity unique. One of the most amazing things you'll ever realize is that you are the very primal sound that set forth the cosmic symphony. You are the very cosmic sound itself. And your individualized life, as you use your thoughts, you use your creative potential, you move and express in time and space, creates a symphony that's unique unto you. When I was aboard ship with Ashtar some time back, he showed me a schematic of energy that was rotating over my light body, which was in suspended animation aboard ship. And I was looking at the light body. It was, you know, 10, 14, who knows how big it was, but let's say it was very big. And I'm going, golly gee, well. And he said, but that's what you really look like. And scintillating above that light body on a levitated bed of light, there was how do I describe it? It was sacred geometric in form, although I could never in a million years draw it because it was very complex. And every one of the geometric configurations was giving forth a beautiful sound. So there was a symphony of sound. And so I was shown myself as sound, this tapestry of melody. I was shown the geometric diagram, or the Merkaba, if you want to call it that, of the yantra, let's call it, the divine anchoring into time and space of form. And then I was shown the interplay between them, which came as colors. Beautiful colors. Which were, in my case, I can't even describe them. But every shade of pink and rose and lavender and violet and purple and blue and sapphire and gold and white, but colors like we don't have here. And then I was shown how the holograph in time-space that I call this form was projected from that chrysalis of energy, was projected. So I don't think I'm unique in any way, and I would be so bold as to say you probably all have that same kind of glorious configuration spiritually. And that part of you is multidimensional and creates within the quantum field of unlimited potentialities in which we swim like so many glorious divine fish. That you're unique in that expression. That your sound is unique, your color is unique, your vibration is unique. There's not another you in all of existence. Moreover, when you get high enough into where you can really look down, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, and truly see yourself as who you are, you'll see that you're a universe. You wear a universe. That everything that is in the cosmos that you might see when you look out through the Hubble telescope and all of these star fields that are birthing, as we speak, new creations to be, that starry stuff, that stardust, and those universes that are coming into being, that have been, that are going out of being, the coming and the going into manifestation and in and out through the cycle of life, is taking place within your biosphere. When I say biosphere, I mean your physical body. Every part of it replicates in microcosmic form the entire cosmos. Sai Baba has said that your light is the light that illumines every single star. Every celestial orb is given light by you. I would say he has a very expanded perspective of who and what we truly are. So we're a microcosmic replica of everything in existence within our physical body alone. Now, take into account that you have a body, a light body, a subtle body on each of the different planes of consciousness, the physical etheric, the astral, the causal, the mental, the etheric plane, and the soul body. And then you have the monadic body, which is like a great oversoul. And then you have the logoic levels. And on and on and on. And each level you have a body that gives you a sense of tangible identity as powerful as you have in your physical body. Isn't that amazing? And every thought, word, and deed vibrates a song within your essence. Just like they have found that every planet, every sun, every orb in the cosmos has a particular note, a particular melodic refrain. Because they're all inhabited by great beings. And likewise, your physical body is sounding forth a beautiful melody. Here's something that's really interesting. Everything that's ever happened to you, every word, every experience, and we're talking every kind of experience because that's the whole point coming into Earth, is to have every variety of experience. This is the place where you get born and literally you're told to have at it. You know, just live life. And every one of those experiences leaves a note, a refrain. It might be bluesy and jazzy. It might be rock and roll. It might be alternative. It might be sitar. It might be banjo strumming. It might be guitar playing. It might be violins. It might be harps. It might be flutes. It might be woodwinds. It might be dissonant cacophony. It might be the most exquisite rhapsody. But, beloved, it is unique to you. It is you as the living word of creative source. You as the primal sound. You as the om. You as the hue. Isn't that awesome? And everything you've ever done and all of your countless, countless, countless roles in this great cosmic play, this great Leela, the divine dream and play of God, is kept like little, oh, what could we call them? I like to call them home videos. You have your own collection of, well, what will we call them now? Audio-visual files that you can visit when you learn how to do that, when you awaken to that part of you, you can go and look at your records of all your many lifetimes. In fact, that's the whole process of going in and out in your meditations, where you go in and out and you travel in the inner realms, is to develop what's called a continuity of ongoing awareness, so that you don't lose that continuity when you go to sleep. Your body can be asleep, but you're awake and aware inside. And when you get that down really well, which it does come, we're all developing it. We will all have it. You don't really have to sweat it. It just kind of develops on its own. When you have that going, you'll be able to remember all of your lifetimes. There will not be any perception of death as we know it in this world, because you'll simply move from one state of existence to the next without any lapse of continuity, like walking from one room into the next. And that's called continuity of consciousness. Which, if you want me to be a little esoteric here, and you can get this information if you study some of the Alice Bailey books that she wrote with the help of the Tibetan master, that continuity of consciousness starts to develop about at the time of the first initiation, and by the time the third initiation is consummated, somewhere between that and the fourth, you will have full continuity of awareness between sleeping and waking, between the physical level consciousness and the levels at which you operate in the subtle planes. And attaining that state is what's called immortality. Because you see, you have the sense of eternal existence. You don't have the sense of interruption in the flow of your awareness of yourself and your ongoing life, which never ceases to be. So everything that happens in our life, every sound that we emit, be it discordant or harmonious, is perfect because it's in the variations of tone and the differentiation that we exhibit as we move through the different experiences of our life that makes us unique and also has enabled us to exercise our awareness in different fields of energy and consciousness. Isn't that the coolest thing ever? So it is the way it is, because it's perfect the way it is. And we can trust what is. Why is that? Well, when you get, again, above the personal level into the impersonal self or the witnessing self, you get that down really well, and you can move your inner awareness with greater ability to see inwardly. You can see the perfection of everything. That's why, you know, when you sit with one of the men or women who has attained self-realization, you'll find they're in a great state of contentment and joy. They're very happy, very lighthearted. And why is that? Because they can see the big picture. So the bigger the picture that you're operating out of, the happier you are. The smaller the story you're operating out of, the more miserable you are. So expand your story. Give yourself some wiggle room. We've all been so conditioned to believe that things in life are supposed to be a certain way, and that one way is right and the other way is wrong. And we've all bought into this in some degree. But what if that simply wasn't true at all? Why not adopt another point of view and see how that works? Put on another viewing lens. Change the color of your viewing lens. So we started out this evening with visualizing light pouring down to the top of our heads and filling our whole body and activating our cells, because each cell is a little mini replica of the solar system. Did you know that? That every atom replicates the solar system. Everything follows the same divine plan. So now I'm going to show you a really simple way to heal. All you need to do is allow that light from source to flow through you. That's it. Over the weekend, we had a crisis with two of our chihuahuas and two of our cats that suddenly became very, very ill. So ill, they had to go into the veterinary hospital in the ICU. But they pulled through. And what we did was we visualized the cats and the dogs on our lap. And we put one hand on the bottom of the animal and one hand on the chest of the animal. And we simply asked God to send light through us, that divine healing light through our hands into the animals. Well, they all pulled through. I mean, none of the vets thought they were going to last the night, but they all pulled through. They were all fine. And I said, you know, animals and babies and very young children are so easy to heal because they haven't developed that ego mind that doubts and doesn't trust the process, that creates blocks against receiving. They simply soak up the light like little sponges. without any blocks. So you can do that for yourself. In fact, if you've had any Reiki training or any of the training like Reiki where you know that you're just a source, a conduit through which the light of healing flows, you can use any of those techniques. In fact, the less of you in your mind and your thoughts that's involved, the better. Because the soul itself is the healer. The soul itself is the divine, an individualized form. And that is where the healing flows through. So try it sometime. You know, try it on your pets. Try it on your plants. Try it on your children. Try it on yourself. Just like Brazzo, the beautiful Croatian man that simply looks at you, gazes at you for like 7 minutes, and your whole life changes, and all sorts of diseases are healed. What does he do? He's simply standing there as a clear conduit for source energy. But every single one of us has that potential. He simply stepped into what Spirit presented for him to do. He recognized it as a gift, and he went with it. So sometimes it's as simple as that. We recognize that whatever it is we love, we want, we have an impetus to do, is the God source attempting to flow through us. So we get anxious and upset and block so much of the joy of our life because we're worried about the 10,001 silly things that steal our attention and our peace and our sanity. And it's those things that we pointlessly seek to preserve and maintain. And so that occupies our time instead of just being a conduit for this source energy to flow through us. Try it the next time you have a problem or you're in school and you're taking a test. Close your eyes for a second and ask the divine source to flow through you and take charge of every atom of that situation. Try it when you're in a contentious situation or the energies are getting very negative, and it has to be a conduit for peace and harmonization to flow into that arena, that situation. Begin to see yourself not as the doer, but as the conduit through which Source is doing whatever needs to be done in this world. Let it just flow through you. You don't have to be trained to do this. You were created to do this. It's your nature. So we've all pretty much gotten caught up in the preservation and protection of passing things in an impermanent world. Things to which we're passionately attached. What are we attached to? Primarily to the past, that is no more. We're attached to fond memories, sentimental things that represent that past, and relationships that at one time perhaps gave us pleasure, but are no longer present in our lives. So we're attached to eye candy, things we like to look at, because whatever it is represents an ideal or has a special meaning we've accorded to it. I remember when I grew up, my mother had things that were just for looks. Isn't that strange? And I used to wonder what she meant. No, don't use those towels. They're just for looks. No, don't touch that, whatever it is. They're just for looks. Isn't that odd? I wonder if people still do that today. They might. But can you imagine having something just for looks? You look at it, but that's it? Kind of strange, don't you think? So whatever it is it represents an ideal. You have to realize it's not what it is, it's what you have accorded it, that you're attached to. It's the significance, the value you have placed upon it that you're attached to, not the thing itself. So we cling and cling, and then we obsess about protecting our precious whatevers, and yet life makes the changes for us because it moves on, and things that were once precious are now replaced by new precious things. So then we store old precious things in a storage locker and often forget all about it, thinking they are safe. But storage lockers are expensive to maintain. I figured out yesterday how much I had spent on my storage locker. I think it was something a little less than $20,000. That's just the latest one. And I thought, what in the world am I preserving in those storage lockers? Well, primarily memories of the past, things to which I'm attached, because they represent ideals. So the other thing that we sometimes find is that when we do go to get the stuff out of the storage locker, we look at this stuff and we think, why have I been storing that? I don't even remember buying it. Or what in the world was I thinking when I bought it? And I don't have any place that it fits in my current life. I'm not doing that stuff anymore. I don't have those people and relationships in my life anymore. Why am I holding on to these old love letters, these old photographs of what was? Because I just got through telling you that everything is indelibly impressed and the great cosmic sea of energy and vibration, the Akashic record, if you want to call it that. So you don't lose those memories. You can always revisit them if you really want to. But why pay storage for years on stuff like that? Why let it obsess and worry you and rob you from present peace and present enjoyment? Now, I'm asking myself these questions, mind you. I like to share the things that I've experienced with you because I don't think we're very different. I think we all pretty much go through the same stuff. So, regardless of how we try to preserve this stuff, there's always going to be a fire, a flood, a tornado, a volcano, something that's going to change whatever it is that we're trying to preserve. But regardless of how, one day for sure, and usually without warning, we must leave all of this stuff behind without a single material thing that we can take with us but ourself, our own self. So the one thing of value that most have had no time to discover, being so concerned with preserving the past that no longer exists, is one's own state of awareness. We've had many exercises been given where we are to localize the energy inside the body. And the state of awareness inside the mind that is the watcher, the sakshi as it's called in Sanskrit, the sakshi, the witnessing presence, that is you as soul, looking out through your eyes. And whether you have a physical body with physical eyes or you have a subtle body that's made of diamond pure white light, you still see and taste and sense and hear and know and are aware and are an individualized self. You don't lose your identity. Bodies change. You remain yourself. Now, that's either a limited self focalized through identifying with limitation and bodies and physicality, or it's an expanded self that you've localized as an energy and a presence apart from your physical enchilada here. And that's why you do inner contemplation, inner inquiry. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Your purpose is what lights you up with such enthusiasm and zeal that you'd rather do that than eat. Whatever does that for you is your purpose. That's why you're on earth. Do that. Do whatever lights you up, makes you so involved, so absorbed, you completely lose a sense of time. You forget to eat. You forget everything. You become one with whatever it is that you're doing. That is meditation. That is passion. That is purpose. That is the creative intelligence flowing through your body-mind instrument that you were meant to express. So another area that gives us so much unnecessary stress and suffering is resisting the way things are. We're trying to control situations so they turn out the way we want them to. And you may have noticed that they have a way of turning out the way they turn out. So why is it so hard for most of us to just accept life as it presents itself to us? Well, perhaps one reason is that we've been conditioned to believe that something is wrong with whatever it is that's going on. Or that something is wrong with us. That we've made a mistake. We're doing the bad, the wrong, the inappropriate thing, and we're going to be exposed and punished. And notice how people generally ask, what's wrong? But who thinks to ask, what's right? And the answer would be, everything. Everything is right to the person that is expressing whatever. From where they're looking at it, it's right for them. And it's none of your business. But if you trace those feelings, and this would be a very good meditation, contemplation practice, if you follow those feelings of something's wrong, which always brings in a sense of a downer, you feel guilty, you feel unhappy, you feel, you know, it's a downer. If you follow those feelings, you'll find a background of fear and anxiety is lurking in your mind. I found certainly this was true for me, but I was able to dissolve the fear and anxiety when I didn't try to block it or fight it or resist it, but I simply stayed present with it, with the feelings, and observed them closely. It's the old thing of where they tell you when you have a lot of pain to focus, or an itch, you can do it with an itch too, focus all your intention on the itch and try to make it even more itchy. Go fully into the pain. And you'll notice it dissolves. Why? Because the light of divine source is flowing through your attention. The light of divine source is truth. And it's truth and reality that sets you free from limited beliefs. And pain is a limited belief. Pain is believing that you deserve to be punished. Pain is a belief that you have karma because you were bad. You did something bad. So you're going to be punished. You know, we believe this, Tommy Rott. We all do to some extent. So we have to stay present with what is and allow the light of that supreme knower within us to dissolve the illusion. And so when I sat with the anxiety, the fear, the pain, the whatever, the resistance, the anger, whatever it is that's not loving and peaceful and joyful, whatever that is, sit with it and just observe it. Don't try to avoid it, because if you avoid it, if you go into distraction, which 99.9% of the time we do, we'll turn on music, we'll turn on the TV, we'll eat or drink or smoke or whatever our thing is that we go to comfort ourselves, that's when it keeps hovering in the background of our mind, and we never feel a present sense of joy. That's what robs us of that joy. So try it for yourself if you want to. Pick something that is disturbing you, that is disturbing your absolute peace and clarity. It doesn't matter how trivial or how slightly, because peace is like pregnancy. It's either altogether a fact or it's not. So you can't fool yourself. Now examine whatever that thing is and see if you can trace it to its inception. What gave rise to this feeling of upset? Be as cool and objective as possible and examine it as if it belonged to someone else. But do go into it at the same time personally and deeply. Don't try to fool yourself. You don't have to identify with it, but you have to know that you're not fully at peace. And you want to be at peace. You want to have that feeling of what has often been called living in a state of grace, where you have no withholds of love from anything, and that includes you, yourself. Now, you can journal about this feeling if that helps you focus, or you can combine it with inner examining and contemplating and then outer journaling, which is what I did, and that worked for me really, really well. And just ask yourself, what is it that upset me here? What am I afraid of? You know, every form of negativity is a disguise for fear. Just like, what am I afraid of here? What am I afraid is going to happen? And just trace it to your underlying fear. And don't be afraid to look at it, because fear, the acronym for fear, is false evidence appearing real. So when you look at it with the gaze of truth, a divine source looking through your eyes, it will dissolve. And as you keep probing layer by layer by layer, you finally expose the entire root system. And you may find that there is a particular root system to your individual life that has been the barrier to your bliss. Some people call it the shadow self. Some people call it the petty tyrant. Some people call it the pain body. But whatever you call it, or the dweller on the threshold, doesn't matter what it's called, as long as you recognize that is what is standing in the way to your being completely at peace with yourself and with the world, and with what's going on in your life and in the world. And when you really stay present with it, without commentary, without judging, without denying, without avoiding, without any of that game going on, you'll see it simply dissolves. It melts. And then you start to feel the heavy energy lift, and it dissolves. And the more clearly you see into this, whatever it is, the more you feel it dissolve, and the light comes up, the brightness begins to come up in your awareness. And suddenly the energy of fear transforms. You don't lose the energy of it. It transforms into an upward rush of energy, which you'll experience probably as I did, as a sense of relief and a burst of positivity and empowerment and freedom. And that is a very clear example of soul transcendence, of where you're choosing to move into soul awareness above the problem so that you look down into it from the eagle's eye point of view, or from the balcony, as I like to say, and you step into the freedom that hovers just above your Van Allen belt of anxiety. So as one deepens in awareness, the concept of all the limitations of time and space and singular location and having to respond to one's own or another's agenda, all of that gradually evaporates. And that is the real meaning of dissolving the ego mind. That is how you dissolve the mind that is not sane. That insanity that we think of as ourself that keeps running the small story in our mind. We silence it and we dissolve that ego mind into the Buddhi or the illumined mind, the Buddha mind, the Christ mind, the mind that was in Christ Jesus as it's described, or soul awareness. And you experience your own freedom. So all that which seemed to keep us confined in pain and struggle just disappears when you have the courage to simply be present with it without resisting, without fighting. You just hang out with it and stay present. And that present presence is God. That's the God self of you pouring through your body-mind instrument. So how does it happen that these things just disappear? One's awareness of already existing as truth has set one free. You are a manifestation of divine truth. And when you look at things from that truth, you set yourself free. And moreover, you realize that you are perfect and divine right now. And forever. It's not something that you're becoming. It's not something you have to work to attain. You simply realize the barriers that you've set up against present happiness. It's just that simple. Are you happy? Happiness is union with truth. The truth that sets you free. So one of the most amazing and liberating realizations which occurs is when the awareness dawns that there's been at no time a single error in your behavior and what has happened in your life. I don't care what you have done. You could be serving a life sentence in prison for all I know. Or whatever. It doesn't matter. That was an experience that you signed up for. Not because you're being punished, but because it was an experience that you wanted to add to your repertoire of experiences. As a soul, you do this. I mean, you know, on a human level, who's going to do that, right? But no, it's right and proper, whatever it is that's taking place in your life. Does that mean you don't try to better your circumstances? No. What you can change, you change. What you can't, you surrender to. And you try to make it work as best you can. If you're serving a life term in prison, make it a pleasant experience for yourself. Many people have. Many people go into prison and in one state of consciousness and come out a transformed person. It's possible. These things happen. So wherever you are, whatever coming down in your life, make it work for you. Bless it. Take it as God's grace to you. Sai Baba said he would never, ever, ever, ever give you any pain. that wasn't ultimately going to lead you to freedom and answer the very prayer that you have set out, set before God. God, I only want to be happy. God, I just wish I had peace. God, I don't want to reincarnate anymore. I want liberation. God, my mind is driving me crazy. You know, we send up these prayers all the time. Do you think God's not listening? God is the one speaking through you, the very words that your human ears need to hear. So that when you're given the very thing that will liberate you, you don't gnash your teeth and growl, but you accept it. You know, an animal caught in a trap, you go to set it free, it'll probably try to bite you, right? And that's what the ego does. The hand of God is reaching down to set you free, and you get angry, and you fight. I don't want it that way. Yeah, but this is the way that's going to get you home faster. This is the fast route that you asked for. I asked for it? Yeah, you did. Quite a few lives back, but I was listening. And this is your answer. Work through this, see through this, illumine in the midst of this, and you're home free. You wanted the experience? Go through it consciously. Don't waste the opportunity. So when you begin to approach your life like that, you begin to find the heavy drama starts to fall away. There's no victimization here. You're not being victimized. You're not being punished. You're not being judged. So get it and get it clearly. You've never done anything wrong. You could never do anything wrong. You're an incarnation of the divine spirit. How can you do something wrong? This is all play acting in consciousness. It's a play of consciousness. There's no right or wrong in it. It's a play. It's a game. Enjoy it. So from the soul's point of view, it's the variety of experiences that Earth life offers that makes it such a valuable spiritual destination. I bet you never thought of Earth as a spiritual destination, did you? But it's such a very valuable spiritual destination because only upon Earth, in a physical body, can one consciously operate multidimensionally while in the physical body. So within one's physical body and subtle bodies, the entire universe and all of creation exists in microcosmic manifestations. All of the realms are present within one and can be experienced. It's just a matter of moving one's point of view to various inner vantage points, exploring the inner layers of consciousness. Each shift of one's inner point of view can open the door to another world of divine creative potentiality, which you activate as you move into those dimensions. That's how you become a co-creator with God. You move into those levels and you activate them as the light being that you are, as a creative manifestation of source energy. So some of the ways that we can begin to activate those inner states of awareness is to do what children do quite naturally. Use your creative imagination. Children do this all the time. They create worlds of their own unlimited imagining. I used to make a whole magical thing happen out of just a few twigs and some flowers, you know, before all the media stuff came online. But, you know, it doesn't matter what's there. Kids are going to use it creatively. So, did you ever lie on the floor where there was a crystal hanging in the window and the sunlight made rainbows on your rug? Didn't you like squirm so that you could be right under where that rainbow fell on the rug? Feel it across your face, across your third eye? I used to do that all the time. or lying under a Christmas tree and seeing a reflection in the Christmas bulbs, the ornaments, and project yourself into that world, that realm of color that the bulb had, gold and purple and green and red. I bet you've done that. My favorite thing was a story, a bedtime story about a little elfin man that used to come out of a picture frame. And he would take the child by the hand and pull him out of his body and take him on adventures through all the many, many worlds beyond the physical realm. I didn't know it at the time, but that was my first experience of soul travel. I was very young. And lo and behold, you know, years later, I met the spiritual traveler. And that's exactly what he does. He comes when you go to sleep at night, pulls you out of your body, and takes you and shows you all the realms of consciousness that are peopled with wonderful things. And that happens to all of us. It's just that you can do that consciously or unconsciously. You can call them dreams. But they're real out-of-body experiences that you're having. And so you create for yourself inner journeys. You can catalyze them through any kind of a visualization, through music, through being in nature. But be creative. Enter the world of the rose. Make yourself teeny tiny and walk in the forest of grass. Make yourself ginormous and see the whole of the solar system inside your belly and the earth as a tiny little molecule in your heart. I mean, there's no limitation. But create for yourselves experiential realms which at some point will take on a life of their own. And you'll realize, whoa, this is not just me imagining. This is a real realm. But that's how you get that going for yourself. You create a context where you can create these kind of experiences for yourself. So eventually you learn how to be here and there at the same time, where you're aware as a soul, but you're also grounded and very functional in the physical world. It's important that you ground these energies. Why? Well, for one thing, so you don't have accidents and trip over things that aren't there and so forth and so on and look loony. You know, you don't want to look like a Looney Tune. So ground yourself. And the best way to ground yourself is to look around and see who you can help out today. Who can you smile out? Who can you brighten their day, make their existence a little happier? Because when you're focused on serving and helping, you're grounded. When you're focused on giving energy rather than looking to where you can take energy, don't do that. But when you're looking to give energy, you're grounded. Giving energy allows that energy to keep flowing through you. That's a secret. When you go someplace, never go there with an idea, I'm going to get something. I have found I've had the worst experiences whenever I do that. Because we're not here to get. We're here to be conduits of unlimited source. And that's the key to abundance. You shut the door to all of God's goodies when you're constantly trying to get, because that's, you're just affirming that you lack, that your whole sense of self is one that's impoverished rather than abundant. So look at what you can give. Give. Let the energy be free in you. Let everything in your life be free. Let it be free. And you'll find that the universe keeps refilling you so that you can be a conduit to bliss, which is what you were created for in the first place. So you get replenished, you get healed, you get filled, you get supplied as you seek to heal and fulfill and supply the needs of others. So, we will realize that we are here on the physical plane and we're everywhere at the same time. That's when you developed really an expanded sense of who you are. Expansion is the divine life. Expansion is your life. And your life is your message. So make it beautiful. Make your life as beautiful as you can. And cultivate more and more conscious awareness of yourself, of what you say, of what you do, of how you move through time-space. Become more aware, more conscious as you move through your day. And what is that? That's God awareness. That's living as God. That's moving into a much deeper experience of truly vibrant life. You begin to notice things, enjoy things, experience things that absolutely you had no idea even existed when you're living your small story. So know that whatever it is perfect as it is. And trust it. Be like the kitten that so relies on the mama cat to take care of it, provide for it, carry it to safety. Be like that in the lap of God. Sai Baba said that's the highest form of devotion, his prapati bhakti, which is the devotion of the kitten. Become sweet and innocent. And you'll find you're living in a state of grace where nothing in you withholds the fullness of your heart. Your love spills out through your words and your eyes and your touch. And everywhere you go, people get healed and their spirits are lifted and their burdens are lessened. And they want to be near you because they feel happy. They feel safe. They feel so much better when they're in your presence. And then your job, beloved, is to teach them how to find that presence within themselves. And it's as simple as looking at what is right and what is perfect in their lives right now. They are perfect as they are right now. And they're loved unconditionally because, in truth, they are pure love. And that is all they need to remember. And you will be that light being that walks through the world and knows the ways of God and brings transformation wherever you happen to be simply by being who you are, the way you are, because it is so perfect. So I hope this has been helpful. And just raise your palms out and bless the planet. See the light sourcing right down through your body, pouring out through your hands. And we send the light for the most beneficent, benevolent, beautiful outcome for every single man, woman, and child on the planet, wherever they are, whatever is happening. May they awaken to the perfect love that they are. Love and grace to each one of you. Namaste.